As a way of introduction, I'm going to play you a short audio clip. I'm not sure when was the last time that you heard something like this. I hear it quite frequently, or I hear something similar quite frequently, because I stay in hotels on a regular basis. Even though I carry a cell phone, I rely on something like this to help me. Listen with me, if you would.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call. It is 5 a.m. Once again, this is your wake-up call.
Again, that's a typical wake-up call that you can request from a hotel desk. It may or may not have your wife's voice on it. Mine does. I just played that for my iPad. I enjoy waking up to her voice. Let it be known, I usually will wake up before her, so I don't get her wake-up call. Once in a while, she wakes up before I do. It's a typical wake-up call that you can request from a hotel desk clerk. For those of you that are younger, it's a free service. It's a primary way that we woke up on time before the age and the popularity of alarms on our cell phones. It's strange to me that I have to explain that, but I talked with somebody that was only slightly younger than me, and they says, do hotels still offer that? I said, yeah, I still use it. It's great. I think back in the day, you always get a wake-up call just because it was a free service and you couldn't get it at home. So anyway, it was kind of nice. They still do it. Next time you stay at a hotel, just call down the front desk and say, I'd like a wake-up call at whatever time it is, and they call you, and there's a sweet voice on the other line. NASA, the space program, has also been known for their wake-up calls. I don't know if you remember any of those. I won't play one today for the sake of time. But they would call from Houston up to the Discover or the space station or those in orbit and give them a wake-up call and wish them a good day. They'd oftentimes play a song and then greet them, and they would respond back with that they're awake or they're also looking forward to a good day. I bring up the topic of wake-up calls today to remind us that today, the Day of Trumpets, is a huge wake-up call for the world. But it should not be a wake-up call for us. The blowing of trumpets on this day reminds us that this present age will end, and the trumpets are an alarm or a wake-up call. The blowing of trumpets on this day is a signal that a new king will be the King of Kings, and those who are counted worthy of the resurrection have a special purpose and a role in the world to come. Today, in the next few minutes, I'd like to remind us that this day symbolizes a start of a new era, not just this day, but a new age. The trumpet sound will be like a wake-up call that the world has never had. They've never imagined it in their wildest dreams. It will be a start of something wonderful for us. We'll cover how it will be a very effective wake-up call for the world's population, and we'll also review why it should not be a wake-up call for us. Should not be a wake-up call for you and me. The title of the message is A Wake-Up Call Heard Around the World. I am super stoked about the day. I have my favorite scriptures. I'll share with a couple of them with you and my personal cornerstone scriptures for the day. Again, the holy day we have observed so far leads us, or all the holy days that we've observed so far, leads us to this day, the Day of Trumpets. Put in your notes 1 Corinthians 15:51. We were there earlier today. It's been all read already. But it says, we will not all sleep, but we will be changed in a moment. Brethren, there are exciting things happening on this day in the future. Remember the end time events. It consists of seven seals. The seventh seal contains the seven trumpets. The last three trumpets also contains the three woes. The seventh trumpet marks the return of Jesus Christ. The world of the future begins on the Day of Trumpets when Christ returns as King. He brings the rule of God to the physical realm, starting with here on planet Earth. Of course, it later extends out to the whole universe. And the second scripture I enjoy reading, I'll ask for you to turn there. I like this scripture, especially as I get a little bit older. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. If you turn the scriptures with me today, it'll help you stay awake. I might have to play that wake-up call a couple more times. We'll see how it goes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16 through 18. I'll read it out of the New American Standard Bible. It says, therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet your inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary, this light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but look rather at the things that are not seen. For the things which are not, for the things that which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are forever. In other words, this light affliction or the challenges that we face are producing a future beyond all comparison. I know it's late in the day and you may be tired and your energy levels may be decaying. So stay with me, but don't lose heart. Let's jump right in. Look at this from the point of view of the uncalled people living at the time here on earth, here on the seventh trumpet, the day that today represents. Let me give you a few words to describe this wake-up call from the world's perspective. First, it will be scary and frightening. I'm convinced of it. Point number one, from the world's perspective, this wake-up call will be both scary and frightening. Just like a call you get in the middle of the night, it may not be a requested wake-up call. You may be home. The phone rings in the middle of the night. You're awakened from a deep sleep. You hear the ringing noise. You're not awake. You're barely functioning. You're fumbling for your phone. Your hands are shaking. You're disoriented. And then as you wake up a bit more, your mind is racing. Even before you answer the phone, is it the state police? Is it a loved one in an accident? Why is someone calling you in the middle of the night? You have no idea what time it is. If you're a teenager, it feels like 4 a.m. It's really 11 a.m. Whatever time it is, whatever age you are, a call in the middle of the night or a call when you're sleeping is frightening. The sound of the trumpet heard around the world is going to be scary and it's going to be frightening as the people will not know what's going on. It will be scary like a call in the middle of the night. Not at a hotel, not a requested call. Keep in mind, people will already be unnerved and on edge. There's been six crazy trumpets preceding. Their nerves will be so frayed by this time, this wake-up call will be like a fire alarm going off in a fireworks factory. It will be scary and it will be frightening. People will be disoriented and running scared. Jesus' second coming will be with power and it will be visible by all. Let's turn over to Matthew 24 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 30. If you're taking notes, put in your notes verses 21 and 22 as well. After the tribulation, the frightening signs in the heavens. Matthew 24 and verse 30, 31. The sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds. And unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Jesus Christ's return will be scary and it will be dramatic. Jesus Christ's return to this world is their only hope. Thankfully, it's a sure hope, as we heard from Mr. Willoughby this morning. So this trumpet will be a loud wake-up call to the world, and to them, it will be scary and frightening. Again, reviewing this wake-up call from the world's perspective, it will also be timely and needed. Secondly, it will be timely and needed. Again, like a wake-up call at a hotel, they can be both timely and needed. Many of us use alarms on our phones, but maybe a second defense of oversleeping is that we call down to the front desk and ask them to call us or give us a wake-up call. I've done this on several occasions, especially if I have to catch an early morning flight that I simply cannot miss. These calls are absolutely needed. and it is nearly always timely. Hotels stress to their employees that a call must be made on time or within 5 minutes of the requested time. Some of the fancier hotels, if they do not get an answer, some hotels will go so far as to send a security guard to your room and will knock on the door. On the return of Jesus Christ to the earth, on the day that this day symbolizes, we are told it will be perfect timing. Let's go see that. When I say timely, I mean that if it was late at all, man would completely annihilate each other. You might remember that Christ is returning on the seventh trumpet. Roll back in time, if you will. Consider that the sixth trumpet is the announcement of a 200 million man army preparing for a battle that will kill a third of mankind. Let's turn over to Revelation 9, verse 16, if you will. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 16 through 18. Revelation 9, 16 through 18. The number of armies of the horsemen was 200 million. I heard the number of them. And this is how I saw in the vision the horses and those who sat on them. And the riders had breastplates the color of fire, brimstone. The heads of the horses were like heads of lions, and out of their mouths proceeded fire and smoke and brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, verse 18, by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which proceeded out of their mouths. Verse 19, the power of the horses is in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails were like serpents that have heads, and with them they do harm. So he's describing crazy, strange things. So strange, he's having trouble articulating what they look like. I like that last, or I don't like that last little bit. It says, and with them they do harm. I think that's probably the understatement of the year there. He casually says, and with them, or that will be the dangerous part. But in spite of these punishments, human leaders and their subjects will continue to pursue selfish and ungodly goals and sins. Thankfully, the seventh trumpet also heralds good news. We will get to that soon. Many of you get the daily scripture that comes in an email or an email format in your inbox. A couple of days ago, it pointed us towards Joel 2. The title of it was The Great and Terrible Day of the Lord. Joel 2, verses 1 to 2 and verse 11. Put that in your notes. I'll read it to you if you've read it recently in your scripture of the day that the church can send out if you subscribe to it. It says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. It's not only coming, but it's coming soon. The day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been seen, nor will ever be any such after them, for even for many successive generations. The Lord gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? So Joel's message contains powerful warnings of punishment and destruction before God wakes up the people from their apathy and from their sin so that God can deliver them. Again, it will be a wake-up call heard by every single person staying in a hotel, not staying in a hotel. It will be scary, it will be frightening, it will be timely, and it will be most needed. While we're discussing this, let me take a quick side diversion and prove to you that there will be no rapture, although I don't think too many of us in the room believes they're in a rapture. I think, as Mr. Horchak encouraged us Sabbath, to be able to defend why you believe and are convicted of that concept. The Bible, of course, does not describe a secret rapture like many Christians do. They think they'll be raptured to heaven. Instead, Christ's coming is a powerful and it will be loudly announced. He comes down to earth, he comes down to the Mount of Olives to begin and establish a long-promised utopian kingdom of God. I don't believe in the rapture. I had a rental property a few years ago that I thought for certain the rapture happened. The people disappeared. They got sucked out of the apartment. There was butter and bread on the table. They left money on the TV. They left all their stuff there, electronics. Usually they take all the things of value and leave all the junk. But these people, I thought for certain, had been raptured. I waited for 3 weeks to see if they would come back. I couldn't contact them. I waited for another 3 weeks. They never came back. I ended up having to clean out the apartment. But besides that one instance, I don't believe in the rapture. Again, I'm taking a momentary diversion so that you can prove to anyone that asks that we will not be, and in fact, no one, except for those two people, have been or will be raptured. Turn your Bibles to Zechariah 14 and verse 4. There's two scriptures in Zechariah 14, 4 and 14, 16 that we as a church utilize that says that this will not be a secret event. Zechariah 14 and verse 4, and in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives will be split into two from the east to the west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain will move towards the north and the half of it will move to the south. Doesn't sound like anything secret. Doesn't sound like something that people won't know about. Verse 16 there in Zechariah 14, it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations that come against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So in other words, this wake-up call will be a very, very loud event, not just in some hotel rooms, not just in a few hotels. Every hotel, every city, every person on earth will be alerted to this scary, frightening, timely, and needed manner. There's going to be nothing secret about this day. Nothing rapture-like. So we see this day symbolizes a wake-up call for the world's population, but I said it should not be a wake-up call for us. Let's spend the remainder of the time confirming why I say that. It will not be a wake-up call because we are promised a part in the events of the day. We will be eagerly awaiting and preparing for our promise. We know it's coming. There's no need for a wake-up call. Point number one, we have been given knowledge and we are preparing. I'm putting this in a positive way, as in it is happening. I hope it is. I hope it's happening for me. I hope it's happening for you. We have been given knowledge and we are preparing. There are promises that we have been given that should motivate us to prepare. We have the inside scoop, you could say. And equally important, we have the instruction of what we need to be doing now and before this wake-up call comes. If you're taking notes, we won't need this wake-up call because we've been given the knowledge and we are preparing for the day. Let's read five scriptures. They're all in 2 Timothy 3. Drives this point home that we have knowledge, we have promises, and we should be doing something. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Second Peter 3 and verse 13. Bear with me, I'll read these scriptures to you. It says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Verse 14, why, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in him with peace, without spot, blameless. And account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Verse 16, and also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which they are not unlearned and unstable, as they do other scriptures, to their own destruction. You, verse 17, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, Beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, be careful, be alert, be prepared. But grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So we're given not only a promise, but knowledge of what we are to be doing, how we are to be preparing before this call comes in. Verse 14 says, be diligent, be found peaceful, be found blameless. That's a big order, but one we should be preparing and working on. You could ask yourself, how peaceful are you? Verse 18, we should be preparing by growing in grace and knowledge, growing in the knowledge of God's way of life. Let's read some more into our promises and also the knowledge of what this day will hold. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. Keep your marker once you get to 1 Thessalonians. We'll read a couple different scriptures in 1 Thessalonians here. Again, along with Christ's return to bring God's government to earth, another great event will also take place here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 15, we'll read 15 through 17. Again, we're reading about our promises and the knowledge that this day represents. It says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then those who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will be always with the Lord. The word caught up is interesting, but if you get a chance, you can do a word study on that. So our promises here are multifaceted. We have the knowledge and the promise of Christ returning. We have a promise that if we're dead or alive, we'll meet Christ in the air and then we'll return to earth. And then it talks about the knowledge of Christ establishing his government on earth. So it's kind of fourfold there. If we get a little bit better context, we can read ahead or behind, however you wish to say it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13 says, but I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose, which I think we do, even so God will bring with him for those who sleep in Jesus. In other words, if you believe what the Bible says, that Christ has been resurrected already, surely this will happen. He's saying, I am giving you knowledge. No need to be in the dark here. There's no need to be ignorant on this topic. I am telling you, you got to know this. There's a lot of information in these 1 Thessalonian scriptures. Verse 17 gives us even more knowledge. Verse 17 has that English word meet, caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. I'll tell you a little bit. The word translated meet is from the Greek word meaning to officially greet or escort a visiting member of royalty. So if you meet somebody, you go out and you greet them, and then you escort them along their journey. In other words, when Christ returns, faithful believers who have died will be resurrected. Those who will be living will be changed to spirit, and they will rise together into the clouds to greet Jesus as his royalty, and he will return, or we will return with him and escort him to the earth where he will begin his reign. Again, this word meet is important. It's an escort to accompany him and keep coming in the same direction. If you have company over your house, you may go out to the driveway and you meet them and you escort them into your house. You don't escort them back home. Well, maybe you do. It depends on how often they come over. Usually, though, you go out and meet them and you escort them in the same direction. Likewise, we will do the same with Christ. We will be pulled violently, it says, pulled strongly into the air, and we will escort him as royalty back to earth. put in your notes Luke 12 and verse 40. It's an exhortation to be prepared. Why? Because of an unknown factor. We know these events will happen, but of course we don't know when. Put in your notes Luke 12 and verse 40. It says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming, but he's coming at an hour that we don't know. Maybe that's why we need the wake-up call. We've been given so much knowledge, we can be prepared, and we can be prepared for this wake-up call. We should be so prepared that it's not a shock, though. Yes, we'll hear it. It'll be the sound of a soon-fulfilled promise. It'll be a good thing to us. It won't be scary. It won't be frightening. It won't be about an unknown event. It will be a wake-up call that we hear, though. Let's keep moving here. Second reason this wake-up call should not be alarming for us is that we will be too excited for the day. Similar to us, as we leave for the feast or leave on a big trip, we're so excited, we're so motivated to go, we are ready, we are prepared. Point number two, it should not be a wake-up call for us because we are simply too excited. Yes, if you're in a hotel, you're wise, you're still going to set the alarm on your phone, you're still going to call down and ask for a wake-up call, but guess what? You're so excited that you wake up even before the call comes in. You are too excited to sleep. We already covered that when you're prepared with the knowledge. Your bags are at the door, your car is full of gas, you have the cooler ready. You are too excited, you're already out of bed when that wake-up call finally comes in. This day has so much meaning. I know someone that loves this day as it pictures the day when they get to see their deceased spouse. They can't sleep. They beat the wake-up call as they're so excited to see their mate that they've missed so much. Bonus round, they get to escort Christ to earth. It's a great promise. For those of us that have lost loved ones, this is way too exciting to need a wake-up call. Someone else already arranged the wake-up call. We will hear it, but we're too excited to need it. Point number two is, it should not be a wake-up call because we are simply too excited. We do not know when this will happen. We have to be prepared. We must sleep some, but we have to go on with life with our lamp filled, the lamp sitting by the door. You may remember the parable about the ladies who were awake but not prepared. We heard about that earlier today. Mr. Willoughby shared that with us. They did not need the wake-up call either. They were awake, but yet they were not ready. That can't be us. We need to be awake, and we need to be ready. We must be watchful. We don't use lamps anymore, so I guess we'd have a flashlight. We used to have flashlights with batteries. Now we have a flashlight with a lithium-ion battery in it that we keep plugged in. We'll leave that flashlight by the door plugged in. We have to step over the suitcase that's packed by the door. We have to be careful day in and day out to step over the charging cord that goes to the flashlight that sits by the door. We have to walk around the suitcase, but that means we're prepared. It's okay. We won't get tired of being ready. It's okay. We are too excited. We've been given too much knowledge, and we've worked too hard to prepare to need this wake-up call. Let's turn to the final scripture of the day. Oh, those are everybody's favorite words right there. The final scripture of the day, folks. Everyone loves those words. Mark 13, verse 32. It says, no one knows the day or the hour. Mark 13 and verse 32. But it's the final scripture. I'll let you turn there. Mark chapter 13 and verse 32. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, not even Christ, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. For you do not know when the master of the house is coming, might come in the evening, might come at midnight, might come in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And I say to you, I say to all, watch. As I finish today, let me play for you one more wake-up call. And again, the trumpet we hear on this day will be totally different. It'll be a different sound, it'll be a different voice, but the meaning will be earth-shaking and it will be applicable to all. I have this clip on my iPad as well.
Good morning. This is your wake-up call. Christ has returned to rule the earth. The day of trumpets has arrived.
I play this clip to remind us that today, the day of trumpets will be a huge wake-up call for the world. But it should not be a wake-up call for us. We will already be awake. We will already be informed on what will happen on this day. And we will be prepared and will be simply too excited to sleep. Godspeed, the fulfillment of this day. Let's get ready.